Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, head coach Josh McDaniels met with the media on Monday, addressed the Josh Jacobs trade rumors, updates the injured guys, and talks rookie running back Zamir White. Plus, you'll hear my conversation with Jeff Howe from The Athletic talking about his piece he put out about GM Dave Ziegler and head coach Josh McDaniels. Your calls and texts will close out the show. It's all coming up on Tuesday's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast for August 9th, 2022.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Just win. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
And welcome in Raider Nation to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. And on Monday, the Raiders were back at practice at the Intermountain Healthcare Performance Center, Raiders HQ. As a matter of fact, they were indoors on Monday. And I'll say right now, I know it's hot outside, and a lot of times I'll talk about, man, we were out there sweating, and you know, I can only imagine what the players are feeling like when it's as hot as it is. But I think that the intensity, I think that the tempo of practice, I think that the, you know, just not attention to detail, because it's always going to be there, but I just think that practice is a little bit more live when it's outside. And again, I know that they have to practice inside every once in a while, and they'll do that throughout the course of the year as well, depending on what the weather's like, whether it's raining or if it's just blazing hot outside, or they just want to have a little bit more of a chill day like they did on Monday. It just seems like it was a little bit more of a chill day, but they were back at work. There was a lot to take away from what we saw at practice. But before we get to anything that we saw at practice, want to hear from the head coach, Josh McDaniels. He met with us. He was supposed to be with us at about 7:45. All of a sudden, they pushed it back to 8:45. Then all of a sudden, they brought it back to about 8:30. So it was about three different times that they had set in stone for Josh McDaniels to meet with us. But he eventually did meet with us at 8:30. And there was about a 15-minute presser, and he answered a bunch of different questions. And I've complimented him multiple times on the way that he answers the questions. He gives us real thorough answers. So I'm not going to bring you the whole thing, but there's about three little quotes that I wanted to bring to you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. And the first one, which was one of the first questions that was asked to head coach Josh McDaniels, and trust me and believe me when I say this was a question that Josh McDaniels wanted to answer. He was looking forward to the question, and he got it right off the top. And that was about Josh Jacobs and if the team is interested in trading him or not.
No. You know, JJ is a guy that obviously we know what he's done. And as I said after the game, you know, I really do believe that the backs in any, you know, situation, they don't really get to simulate what's going to happen during the course of the regular season. And so, you know, giving them an opportunity to actually get tackled, take care of the football, you know, and get acclimated to a new system, quite honestly, you know, I think is the goal. And each man's different. Like I said, we, you know, chose to not play a few guys. There was a number of guys that couldn't play based on, you know, just coming back from something or, you know, rehabbing certain things. But, you know, Andre James played three series as our starting center, and there was a purpose for that, you know, communication with the quarterbacks, really starting to do the things on the line of scrimmage with the guys on either side of them, and do it in a game setting when we didn't know what was coming. You know, you saw a lot of the linemen play most of the first half that started the game again. So, you know, like I said, we'll try to do what's best for the team. We felt like that was a good thing, a good opportunity for all our backs that played. We have a lot of confidence in JJ, and you know, he did well with his opportunities, which we hoped he would, and he did. But no, we have no desire to do that at all.
So there goes head coach Josh McDaniels talking about Josh Jacobs and the fact that the team has no desire to trade him. And that's what they're saying. And I know that a lot of people are going to say, yeah, but that's just coach speak. John Gruden said that, and then he turned around and traded Amari Cooper. But I really do believe that there's no reason to trade Josh Jacobs. He's not being owed a lot of money, just over $2 million last year of his deal. He's a guy that's the best running back they have on the roster. Just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Of course, there's been a lot of speculation about that, but that's not something that I've believed at all from the jump. So when I look at the running back rotation for that room coming up in 2022 season. I look at Josh Jacobs getting the majority of the carry. He's probably about 50 to 60%. Zamir White getting about, you know, 20 to 30% of the carries. And then Brandon Bolden getting a little bit of burn, more catches out of the backfield than anything like Jalen Richard did or like Kenyon Drake can do. And I kind of look at Kenyon Drake as the guy on the outside most likely looking in. But again, anything could change and how it can change, quick, fast, and hurry. But that's right now how I'm feeling. So I mentioned Zamir White. Josh McDaniels was asked about him, what he thought about the rookie Thursday night in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, he played fast. And for a rookie, there's times where you're thinking and processing, and sometimes that makes you play a little slower than what you would normally do. And I didn't see that, you know. Ran down on the kickoff team, made a hell of a tackle, you know, really closed the lane, did a good job of scalloping, coming under control, and made a good tackle on the kickoff cover team. This guy just plays hard, you know, loves football. You saw how he finishes runs. He's a physical player. He's a tough guy. He adds that element to our team. And he's unselfish. You know, whatever role we've asked him to compete in, he just gets in there, whether it's on the punt team, the kick cover team, offensively, blitz pickup. He's trying to get better every day. Loves football. I thought he got off to a good start the other night.
Head coach Josh McDaniels talking about rookie running back Zamir White. And I like what I saw from Zamir. Don't want to overreact from one preseason game and the Hall of Fame game on top of that. But just obviously it looks like he looks the part, right? It looks like he knows exactly what he's supposed to be doing. And I think that if there's one position that could transition sooner rather than later in the NFL, it's the running back position. You got to read your blocks, you got to hit the hole, and you got to get downhill. And Zamir White did all of that on Thursday. Now, he'll have another opportunity to showcase himself on Sunday and the rest of the preseason as well, but there's a lot to like about Zamir White. Now, I want to give an update on injuries because head coach Josh McDaniels talked about them. He was very vague. He never specifically talked about a Chandler Jones or a Darren Waller or anyone else in particular, just said that all the guys are working to get back out there sooner rather than later. And, well, Chandler Jones returned to practice on Monday, so that was a good thing. Chandler Jones is a guy that I didn't expect to see back at practice on Monday, but in fact he was out there. Now Darren Waller wasn't out there, so there's obviously going to be some kind of level of concern, and maybe later on in the week when we get to talk to head coach Josh McDaniels again, we'll ask him about it if Darren Waller has not returned to practice. And maybe if he doesn't return to practice and this game on Sunday goes by against the Minnesota Vikings at Allegiant Stadium, maybe then is when you start to have a little bit of concern, like, okay, he's been out for a long time now. What's going on? Is it practice? Is it injury? Is it contract? What's going on? But as it sounds right now, it's just like it's a nagging injury. That's what at least it sounds like, at least what I'm hearing. But again, that's just as of right now. Obviously, I'll continue to update you as it comes through and as I hear more stuff. But I will say this, Brandon Parker, who played left tackle on Thursday, we know that he's a swing tackle, but most likely he ends up being backup for the right tackle position. He didn't practice on Monday. I know he hurt his arm on Thursday. I saw him hurt his arm on Thursday. I saw him leave the game and then come back and continue to battle. I also saw him in the locker room. Looked like he was favoring that arm a little bit as well. There was multiple reports about that in the locker room on a Thursday following the Hall of Fame game. And then there was reports that came out on Monday, and I had a couple of people from the media ask me, hey, have you heard about Brandon Parker? I'm hearing that he tore his tricep in the weight room, is going to miss the season. I've seen that multiple times and multiple outlets that have put that out there on Twitter, but none of that is confirmed by the Raiders. Now, I'm not saying that that's false. I'm just saying it hasn't been confirmed by the Raiders yet. So it's very well could be something that's going to happen. Either way, Brandon Parker is clearly injured. I don't know how severe it is. I don't know how much time he's going to miss. But if he is out for a long length of period of time, or if he's out for the season like many people have suggested, that's going to be a big blow to the offensive line depth for the Raiders. I mean, I'm not saying that he's going to be a guy that would be counted on all the time to be out there, but you know that at least he could be a piece of depth. He could be a guy that can come in there in case of emergency break glass, or in case a guy has to fill in for a game or two. You feel pretty good that Brandon Parker could at least hold that down. I know he didn't do a great job at the left tackle position. I also realize that that's not his normal position, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather the team have Brandon Parker than not have Brandon Parker. So that's obviously an area of concern. Again, the Raiders have not confirmed that. Vinny Ponzinior put this out on Twitter on Monday, FYI, on speculation that Raiders Brandon Parker has been put on IR. That is not accurate. Now, again, that does not mean that he's not going to be put on IR. That does not mean that he's going to be not out for a long time. That just means that as of right now, he has not been put on IR. So we'll see what happens with that. Obviously, if he does get put on IR or misses a long period of time, they're going to have to go outside the building and bring someone else in. But again, we'll continue to look for that. And speaking of going outside the building and bringing others in, on Monday, the Raiders tried out veteran nose tackle Danny Shelton. He's very familiar with GM Dave Ziegler and head coach Josh McDaniels from his time playing for the Patriots. That's according to ESPN's Field Yates. And then later on today, according to Aaron Wilson from Pro Football Network 365, the Raiders are going to be working out running back Levante Bellamy. He's a former Western Michigan standout. He played for the Denver Broncos, playing for them the past two seasons after going undrafted. So if they are scared and concerned about Brandon Parker and him missing a whole lot of time, they're not showing it. They worked out a nose tackle, and they're going to work out a running back later on today. So I'm not saying that that's the only people that they're going to be working out, but again, as of right now, those are the only two people that we know about. Nose tackle Danny Shelton worked out on Monday, and running back Levante Bellamy is working out today. So that's all I got for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast, news and notes of the day. Coming up in segment number two, you're going to hear my conversation with Jeff Howe from The Athletic. He put out a really good piece on GM Dave Ziegler and head coach Josh McDaniels, and just kind of gives you a good little background and even expectations, as these guys I'm really becoming pretty fond of and think that they're really heading this team in the right direction. And I think that Raider fans are going to be excited about what they see from this regime for years to come. I just think that these guys are clicking on all cylinders and that they really know what they're doing in leading this organization on the right path. But again, we'll talk more about that in segment number two when you hear that conversation with Jeff Howe from The Athletic. Before I get to any of that, though, I do want to tell you about Built Bars. And as I check the website, like I do every single day, built.com, I see something that I like. Peanut Butter Lovers Bundle. And I'm a big peanut butter fan. They have Built Bars that are peanut butter, and they have Built Bars that are peanut butter brownie. I don't think it gets too much better than that. Again, the Peanut Butter Lovers Bundle, you can find that at built.com right now. And there's so many other things to choose from. If you're not a big peanut butter fan, well, one, shame on you, but that's okay. You don't have to be. They have all kind of different flavors to choose from. Toffee almond is another one. Of course, they have the OG flavors like the cherry barcia. They have cookies and cream, mint brownie, coconut, double chocolate. If you like marshmallows, they have the Built Puffs. Cookie dough chunk puffs is a great one. Banana cream pie, brownie batter, coconut marshmallow, churro, just to name a few. But of course, great taste of protein bars. I tell you about them all the time. They taste great, right? They're good for you. So you're not going to get something that's high in calories and high in sugar. You are going to get something that's great in taste. And that's what I keep going back to, because that's so important, and it's so rare that you get a protein bar that actually tastes great, right? And it's not bad for you. That's the thing about it. If something usually tastes great, there's usually a catch to it. Not with Built Bars. Again, they're very low in calories, very low in sugar, just high in taste. And right now I encourage you, go check out that Peanut Butter Lovers Bundle with the peanut butter bars and the peanut butter brownie bars. I don't think you can go wrong. When you go to check out, use the promo code LOCK15. You'll save 15% off your order just like that. That's one word, LOCKED15. LOCK15 at built.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Want to get into a really good interview that I had on Monday on Unnecessary Roughness, Raider Nation Radio 920, and that was with Jeff Howe from The Athletic. Does a great job just covering the NFL like a glove. I mean, he's been doing it for a long time. Put out a really good piece, and he put it out last week about head coach Josh McDaniels and GM Dave Ziegler, and I tried to get a hold of him then, but he's just been doing a lot of traveling, going from training camp to training camp, putting out all kinds of different pieces, and so that one was one that I thought was great. So we had an opportunity to catch up on Monday, and he gave me a really good amount of time. I'm only going to play like the nuts and bolts of it. There's probably about 8 to 10 minutes of it that I'm not going to play. I don't want to play the whole 20-minute interview, but I thought that at least this chunk was some really good stuff. So the interview started out, again, with Jeff Howe from The Athletic on Raider Nation Radio 920, Unnecessary Roughness on Monday, talking about this piece that's called How Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler Pass Could Pay Off for the Raiders. So my first question to him was about their pass. How is the pass failures of head coach Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler, who was along with the ride for him in Denver, obviously went back to New England. How can their past help out with the Raiders moving forward?
Talking about their past, I mean, McDaniels has, especially for the last, I would say, 3-4 years, because I covered him in New England. I covered the Patriots for 12 years before taking on the NFL role last summer. So I had an up-close and personal viewpoint of this whole thing. He really took to heart the failures that happened in Denver. And he was public about that. And I was kind of curious, now that he's in place in Vegas, okay, so what have you put into practice? And it's about, more about delegating. It's about, you know, building relationships with people in the building. It's about being comfortable in your own skin. You know, when he was in Denver, he was 32 years old. He was just coming off of 9 years working for the Patriots. So all he knew was working for Bill Belichick. And he said that, you know, when he got stressed or times got tough, he kind of just deferred. It wasn't like he was trying to be Belichick or anything like that. Like, there's like this stigma of guys who go, you know, Belichick assistants who go to other places and ultimately fail. You know, there's this stereotype, and in some cases it's true. You know, this guy tried to be too much like Belichick, but McDaniels made a lot of sense. He was like, that's all I knew. So it's not like I was trying to be somebody else. I was just kind of deferring to the answers that I had heard for my entire coaching career. And now that he's, you know, 46 years old, he's grown up a lot in life. He's got a lot more perspective. He's able to trust himself, be his own person. And he said, you know, a bunch of times when we were talking, I just want to be myself. And he feels like he's been doing that. And Ziegler has had that unique perspective of seeing him in both spots, too, or I guess all three, and even, you know, playing in college with him.
Right.
He's seen that growth as well. And I thought the cool thing about Ziegler's story is just, you know, the background of him trying to just figure it out professionally. You know, he was a college football player at John Carroll and tried to get into coaching in some way. That wasn't really working out, so he ends up getting hired by McDaniels in Denver. But like the 10 or so years before he got to Denver, it was like he was a history teacher in high school. He was a guidance counselor. You know, he at one point packed up and moved to Arizona without a job, just kind of hoping that he could wing it and figure it out. So because of all that, you know, he told me, I liked this quote. It just kind of showed like what his mentality is like. He's like, I'm not afraid to get fired. You know, in 5 years from now, I'm a high school guidance counselor. That's okay. I'll figure it out. Because he's just, you know, he's taken this unorthodox path to an incredible job.
Talking right now with Jeff Howe from The Athletic, talking about his piece he put out about GM Dave Ziegler and also Josh McDaniels. And one of the quotes that were in there from the GM was, let's try to be great now. And that shows the he's talking about the aggressive moves that he made for Devontae Adams, for Chandler Jones, you know, getting the extension for Crosby and Derek Carr, trying to be great right now and compete. How much do you think that that gives those guys in the locker room who they don't know about this new regime, but when they see them go out and make moves like that and they also hear stuff like that, let's try to be great right now. How much confidence do you think that that gives the guys in the locker room?
Yeah, that is important for a couple different reasons. You know, number one, taking a big swing and getting a guy like Devontae Adams, you know, less than 24 hours after the big deal for Chandler Jones, you know, that shows, hey, you know what, like the guys in that locker room, they made the playoffs last year. They know that. So you never really know when a new coach and GM combo come in. Are they going to tear this thing down? Are they going to start trading pieces and rebuilding for future drafts? And all of a sudden right there, that's like, hey, they believe in us. You know, the players have to think that way because they just went out and they improved the roster and they sacrificed two high draft picks in order to get Adams. So that was big. But then on the other side of that, to get deals done for Crosby and Carr, you know, and Renfro, you know, that just shows that not only do they believe in the guys that are there, but the guys who have been doing it the right way, the leaders in that locker room, are now getting rewarded with bigger deals when they still had term left on their contract. So that shows, you know, they're not just coming in to do it with the guys that they see fit. You know, they're going to start putting pieces together from outside the organization. They're going to reward the guys who have been doing it the right way for the Raiders for several years at that point. So twofold level of confidence that they should have delivered to the locker room by those moves.
And, you know, as far as establishing a personality or establishing a team identity, how difficult is it for guys that leave New England, leave that Belichick tree, to establish their own personality and own identity because that New England tree hovers so large?
Yeah, it has been. And it's like, I mean, ultimately, it hasn't truly worked because none of those guys, I guess you could say, have gone out and won a Super Bowl. Now, there have been levels of success. I mean, Bill O'Brien had a pretty good run in Houston before, you know, things kind of went off the rails there. And I mean, it's so you can kind of like pick and choose different spots. Like, you know, how do you define success? I mean, if you just want to define it as a Super Bowl, none of them have gotten to that point, and really none of them have had a whole lot of playoff success either. So it's interesting. It's and again, there is that stigma because if somebody comes in, and you know what, I'll bring it back to kind of another thing McDaniel said was he wants to tell everybody the why. You know, if they're going to practice in the weather elements, why is this happening? If they're going to change something up at in a practice drill, why is this happening? And he's like, I don't have it in me to just go there and say, hey, this is what we're doing. Shut up and go do it. And he wants to explain it. And he kind of said, hey, that's how things started with Belichick, 22, 21 years ago in New England, explaining why. And then all of a sudden you kind of develop a long, long, long track record of success. And, maybe the whys aren't as necessary when you're a guy like Belichick. But for a new coach, you have to explain these things because you have to get the trust of the locker room that, they're going to follow you. They have to be able to follow you.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the why, because we've been seeing that out at training camp. We've been seeing a lot of teaching. We've been seeing coaching, but we've also been seeing a lot of teaching, and that goes back to the why. And I even asked Coach McDaniels last week or 2 weeks ago at this point now about, learning how not to lose before you're coached up to be able to win and how important that is. And he had a very detailed answer. He thought I was trying to trip him up at first, but then he gave a very detailed answer about you've got to be able to do the small stuff, the fundamental stuff. You can't shoot yourself in the foot. You can't turn the ball over, or you're not going to win games. That all goes back to that why that you're talking about.
Oh, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard in the Patriots locker room over the years, quietly, players would be like, look, all we have to do is not lose. Because more often than not, that other team is going to do something that's going to make them lose. And when you, if you're watching the Patriots week after week like I have been for, I grew up in the area, so really the entire Belichick tenure, I've seen, what feels like a million examples of, like, maybe the Patriots are sleepwalking in a game, but this other team just choked, or gave just enough leeway for Tom Brady to, to beat him in the final couple minutes or whatever. But that was what it was. Like, when the Patriots were at their best, they never did anything that would force themselves to lose a game. They would either go out and win it, or that other team would eventually make the mistake that cost them their own chance to win.
I've been really impressed with GM Dave Ziegler, just seeing him at training camp every day. He's so involved, and not involved in an intrusive way, but he's around the field. If a ball comes flying over this way, he'll go grab it. Somebody drops a towel, he'll go grab it. He's intense and tight. Eyes are all on the field watching the players and everything, but he's just been there, and it's almost like he's been available to make sure his eyes are all over the field. One of the quotes in your piece was that he has in his office WIN, W-I-N, what's important now. Talk about what that means and how important that is to GM Dave Ziegler.
Yeah, that was, well, two things there. I'll start off with, the presence of practice. That is definitely a Patriots thing. Scott Pioli did that in the 2000s. Nick Caserio did that. To the point where, Nick Caserio was a college quarterback and at John Carroll with McDaniels and Ziegler. And, Caserio would get in there and try to throw passes, and then Tom Brady would make fun of his awful throwing motion any chance he could. So there's a lot of that to it, but, the reason why those guys and Ziegler is doing that in Vegas is because he wants to be able to see everything. And he needs to know, all right, what do I need to do personnel-wise in order to help this team get better? Are there additions that need to be made? Or just in terms of, roster cuts coming down the pike and that sort of stuff. When you talk about what's important now, I thought it was really interesting the way that he opened up about his last couple of years in New England when he started getting promoted. And he was Nick Caserio's assistant director of player personnel in 2020, and then took over the director of player personnel job, which is essentially the GM job without the title in New England, because Belichick is, he's never had a quote-unquote GM. But the amount of responsibilities that he had, he was used to just being either on the college side or on the pro side. So his days were, a little more compact. He could wake up at whatever hour in the morning and write down a list of things that he was going to do every day, and he would check off every single one of those boxes a whole lot more often than not. Then when you get into the director or assistant director of player personnel, and you've got a lot of challenges coming your way. It could be trades, it could be contract discussions, it could be whatever happens. You're leading the personnel department, and you're not always going to be able to go down that list. So it was and he said he would get frustrated because he thought that he basically wasn't doing enough because he wasn't getting through the list the way that he wanted to. So he learned how to take a step back and say, hey, it's okay that I'm not going to go A, B, C, D, E today, but I might go A, G, C, Z, and that's still a really productive day. And he kind of had to teach himself how to be a little more mentally tough in that capacity So I thought that was a really interesting way to look at it, because that's not something that you really consider that these guys go through, especially on the front office side, because we don't see them. I mean, we judge players, we judge coaches, because we can see them practice at this time of year. We can see the games on Sundays in the fall. But you don't really necessarily see what these guys in the front office are doing, not nearly to that extent. So him kind of opening up and sharing that was really cool, I thought.
Jeff, final question for you before we let you go. I wanted to ask you about some of the assistants and just, I mean, you've been able to see them, guys like Patrick Graham, defensive coordinator. He was in New England for a while. Of course, Mick Lombardi was in New England. Carmen Brasillo, the offensive line coach, was in New England. What do you think about just the assistants and their role that they're going to have this year with the Raiders?
Yeah, I mean, they're a lot of those guys are sort of in the up-and-coming category, but, you know, I think Lombardi is well-respected, and I thought it was interesting that the Patriots, I don't know if it was necessarily allowed him to leave or whatever. That was more of a surprising departure. But I'll stick with Graham. Patrick Graham is incredibly smart. I mean, that guy, he knows how to coach defense, and he knows scheme. And I'm surprised he hasn't gotten a better look at becoming a head coach at this point. But he's a really good defensive coach. And, you know, I think that's the bigger question mark, the Raiders' defense, and just, you know, how high is their ceiling, and, you know, especially against that division. It's going to be, it's a tough job. I'm not saying he's all of a sudden going to turn them into a top five or a top ten defense. Like, I don't know that. But I know Patrick Graham is an incredibly smart defensive coach, and, you know, I think, you know, that's another solid one that they have in place.
So there it is. There it was. I thought that was some really intriguing stuff from Jeff. I thought his piece was great. If you want to go ahead and read it, check it out. How Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler pass could pay off for the Raiders. And I really do feel like, and I don't think I'm falling for the banana in the tailpipe, but I do think that this team is really headed in the right direction. Does that mean that they're going to be a playoff team and go to the Super Bowl? No, of course not. You got to go out there and get it done on the field. But I'll tell you right now, I feel pretty confident in the way that everything's being put together. From what I see at practice, what I see at training camp, what I hear from the coaches, and what I see from the team, the body language of the team, what the guys look like out there performing, you know, just all that. I just feel like that everything is headed in the right direction. Now, it's up to them to go and get it done. But hopefully you enjoyed that conversation with Jeff Howe from The Athletic. Coming up in segment number three, your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Before I get into that, I did want to ask you, have you ever ran into that situation where you just needed some extra money? Where you knew you just didn't have enough to get it done with what you needed to get done. You know, you knew you had something that you had to buy. Maybe you had something for the kids. It's back to school time, so maybe you had to get some extra school supplies and you just didn't have enough money. Maybe payday is not till Thursday or Friday, but you need to get it now. Well, guess what? Dave is here for you. And I know before you ask me who Dave is, don't worry, I'll tell you. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. More money to fill your tank, buy gifts, catch up on bills, whatever the case may be. You can finally tackle those expenses that have been stressing you out without any hangups. There's no interest, no credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need with extra cash. So right now, if you're in a pinch and you need some extra help, download Dave and think of it as a helping hand from future you. Again, download the Dave app from the App Store right now. That's Dave, D-A-V-E. Sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fee apply. Banking provided by Evolve, member FDIC. Future you will thank you.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Your calls and texts straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line, 707-654-4693. Let's start things off with a text this time. We'll take it from JBJ. Q, love the show. It was a treat to hear Blind Neil on your show. I've not heard his voice in a long time. He was an occasional guest on a local show here in Sacramento. Just win, baby. That's JBJ. That's awesome. Shout out to Blind Neil and shout out to you, JBJ. Definitely appreciate that. And shout out to Sacramento, California, man. The 916. Always got love for Sacramento. Thank you for that text again, my man. I definitely appreciate you. And Blind Neil, make sure you call back, man. You're a fan favorite. You know what I mean? It's all good. Up next, I got a call from Barry in Baltimore. He's calling with a couple thoughts on the Raiders Hall of Fame game, and he's going to share these thoughts right now. Here he is, Barry from Baltimore.
Hey, what's up, Q? This is Barry from Baltimore. Just wanted to call in on a couple thoughts of, you know, the Thursday Hall of Fame game with the Raiders. But as always, I just want to thank you for what you do, bringing the content daily It's really appreciated, man. I look forward to listening to this every day. But on the game, I thought they looked good. I mean, I thought the defense got off the field good. Offense got on and off the field good. The kind of things I look for. So it looks like they were in some rhythm. Didn't look like, too sloppy from, penalties and things like that. Of course, the offensive line is questioned. but with Miller not in there and putting Parker at left tackle, I don't know. I still think they should need an upgrade, get some of these cuts that come out, here in the next several weeks, or maybe, sign a free agent available, but we'll see what they think. But, and then also too, I wanted to comment on the Jacobs thing. You got a lot of media freaking out about, not necessarily you or you guys, but just like the other offset media or whatever, different areas. And of course, the fantasy community, which I know you're not a huge fan of, but, freaking out about him playing, starting on the Hall of Fame game. And yeah, at first I was kind of thinking like, dang, wait a minute. But, then I started thinking like, well, if they're trying to showcase him, why would you start him, and risk an injury? There's tape on him. So that's one thing. And then of course, after hearing, McDaniel's comments after the game, how he wants to give running backs reps and things like that, it all made sense and I get it. Plus two, everybody's making a big deal about them not picking up that option, which I thought was a smart business move. The old regime might have picked it up. Running backs, as you could see from the value standpoint, and then, go look at the free agents that are running backs next year. It's a good amount. Some good names out there. Plus, next year's draft running backs, it's pretty loaded, from talent. Now, that's talent you don't know until they play, but the running back class next year draft is loaded. So that was smart for the Raiders. He even could be back. If he balls out, and they could get him on a decent deal, So I don't think it's completely over. Of course, it depends on how he plays this year, how the money lines up. But that's it. Basically my thoughts on all that and, with the game and things like that. But I just wanted to call in, give my two cents. And then, also just thank you for what you do for the nation. All right, man. Talk to you later. Go Raiders.
There he goes. That's Barry from Baltimore. And, yeah, the Raiders through the first three quarters, they look very disciplined, right? Later in the game, got started getting penalties, but they did look like a very disciplined team. As far as Josh Jacobs goes, again, not a big deal, especially after McDaniel's comments, not only on Thursday, but again on Monday. And multiple outlets, multiple people have reported that the Raiders are not trying to trade him. But, of course, that was part of the speculation when everyone saw him in the game on Thursday. So definitely not worried about that at all. But thank you for the call, my man. And, yeah, I think it's a positive that this team is looking like they're a lot more disciplined and a lot more attention to detail than ever before. Up next, we got a text from Nick in Orange County. He says, hey, Q, Zamir White reminds me of one of my favorite Lakers of all time, Michael Cooper. Never stop smiling. Great attitude. What impressed me about the Hall of Fame game was the organization the team had and lack of stupid mistakes. They seem like they all play together for a while. Do you think some of this had to do with Stidham? As always, great show, man. Nick from Orange County, and thank you so much for the text, my man. And, yeah, going back to Barry from Baltimore's call, again, no stupid penalties, not shooting themselves in the foot. But that also goes back to what I've been saying now for weeks about learning how not to lose as opposed to being coached up to win. And dotting the I's and crossing the T's and not shooting yourselves in the foot and holding yourself accountable. I'll tell you, on Monday, there was a handful of Raiders that we saw running laps. I saw DeMarcus Robinson running laps. I saw Max Crosby running laps. Neil Farrell Jr. was running laps. There was people that were running laps when they made mistakes. And Max Crosby even yelled to us, and he was like, hey, what's up, y'all? Finally got me on the hard count. So he jumped off sides, got a hard count, and had to run a lap. So he did it, but he held himself accountable. I think that that has something to do with it. Even though it's minor, it's something that just kind of creates that muscle memory. And these guys start creating that muscle memory to do the right thing and not be reckless and out of control, then you're going to see a lot more positive play from the Silver and Black. So thank you so much for that. I do appreciate you. Jarrett Stidham, I think he is definitely the leader in the clubhouse for the backup quarterback position. And I think it's starting to show more and more each day that he's getting more comfortable in that role. So I'm not saying that he's solidified that job already, but Nick Mullins is going to have a monster rest of preseason to get that backup job from Jarrett Stidham. I think that that's Stidham's to lose, and we'll see what happens with that. But again, thank you for that text. Next up is a call from my guy Rahul in Seattle. He's calling to talk about the Pro Football Focus scores on the offensive line, and in particular, Brandon Parker. Here's his thoughts. Rahul in Seattle.
Hey, Q, it's Rahul from Seattle. I was just thinking about Brandon Parker, his performance or lack thereof in the Hall of Fame game. And then I saw some of the PFF scores, and he actually had a pretty decent PFF score, 71.6. Now, I know PFF isn't the end-all be-all, but we would have to expect some type of, it would have to look somewhat reasonable when the average fan can tell that a player was dominated, and yet the PFF score is coming back, as a good performance. And, other guys on the offensive line, Parham, Leatherwood, they all had PFFs in the 70s as well. So, I guess I have a question for you is when you look at the PFF score, how much stock are you putting in that? Because this performance by Parker was probably one of the worst I've seen, where a guy was just completely overmatched. He gave up, his statistical performance was not good, a lot of pressures, a lot of sacks. And yet the PFF score is saying that he had a good game. So, I don't know. I guess I just have a question for you as to what you think about the PFF score and, how you think it truly evaluates a player because, the eye test is very obvious in Parker's case. I haven't seen a single fan or single analyst say that Parker had a good game. And, even if you take out those sacks, you still saw a guy getting pushed back. You saw a guy missing blocks on sweep plays. You saw a guy that just didn't really know his assignment several times. And so, I don't know. In my opinion, his PFF score should have been in maybe the 40s or 50s. Certainly not a 71.6 like he got. But anyway, just interested in your take on the PFF score and how much stock you put in that. Because, it's kind of become the report card for players. After every game, what's the PFF score? And a lot of people use that to, make statements about a player's performance. But, I still think the eye test trumps the PFF score because, this game is a classic example where, I just think PFF had it all wrong. But anyways, I like how the rest of the O-line did. They all look pretty good otherwise. But anyways, just want your take on that. One love.
Rahul, thank you so much for that call, my man. And everyone who knows, and you know as well, that I don't live and die by Pro Football Focus scores. I do look at them as a point of reference, kind of get an idea of what they're thinking. But I'll tell you right now, one, I didn't know that Parker had a 70-something score. I thought that was Leatherwood who had a 72-point-something. But I'm not too sure. I kind of lost focus of where the Pro Football Focus scores were for the offensive line. I saw them early on Monday, and I don't know where I saw them at, so I couldn't go back and reference them. But I can tell you right now, from the eye test alone, Brandon Parker didn't look good. He just did not look like that guy. I don't want to make an excuse to say, well, he was playing on the left side and he was out of place. No, I mean, because with this regime, everyone's got to be able to play every role, right? If you're a tackle, you got to play the tackle positions, the right tackle or the left tackle. You don't know where you're going to end up. If you're on the inside, like a Dylan Parham, you've got to be able to play the left guard, the right guard, and the center position, which is something that he did in his very first game. I can just tell you by looking at Brandon Parker, the eye test was he wasn't very good on Thursday. Now, the problem with that is I don't know if he's going to be back out there anytime soon because of the reports that, he's got an injury that's going to hold him out for some time. Again, an injury that has not been reported and it has not been confirmed, but a lot of speculation out there about Brandon Parker being pretty badly hurt and that he's going to miss some time for the Silver and Black. And of course, as soon as we get an update on that, we'll definitely pass that along. I think I got time for one more text real quick from Dakota Raider. Says, does it make sense to grab a tackle like Dwayne Brown? We can solidify our line with a proven player. I know he's a left tackle, but we sure could use on the right side. Or is he going to be asking for too much money? Or is it too concerning about his age, maybe? He hasn't missed a game in two seasons, was a Pro Bowl in 2021. I think he could be a good filler for a year and maybe draft someone next year. What are your thoughts on this veteran? That's from Dakota Raider. And Dwayne Brown, I believe, is actually going to end up signing with the Jets. I know he worked out with the Jets already, and Mekhi Becton looks like he's going to be out for the year for the Jets. So I think that Dwayne Brown is headed to New York to be there. I don't know how much money he's going to be asking for. I'm assuming before at least the Mekhi Becton injury that he was going to be asking for quite a bit of money. That's kind of always been his thing. Even when he was in Houston, he wanted the most money. And he has more of a left tackle than he is a right tackle. But at this point, you want to have
really good guys out there. That's what you want. So I think Dwayne Brown's probably going to be off the market. I think the best guy that you could probably go get right now is Darrell Williams from Buffalo that's still out there and available. Or if you want to get a little freaky, you could always call the Chicago Bears and try to get Tevin Jenkins from up out of there. He was drafted, I believe, in the second round just a year ago, and just things aren't going very well in Chicago. And it's been told and been said that he's on the trade block right now. And Champ Kelly, who's the assistant GM for the Raiders, was in Chicago last year. And obviously he was very instrumental in the Bears drafting Tevin Jenkins. So if he thinks he's worth something, I wouldn't be shocked or surprised to see them go make a move to get a young dude that they can develop or feel like they could develop and could end up being a key cog on that Raiders offensive line for some years to go. So that's probably the direction I'd go, is just taking a chance because he's not a veteran and you're not sure what you're going to get from him right away. But for the long-term satisfaction, I think it would be great as long as you feel like you have the coaching staff that can coach him up and get him out of the rut that he's in with Chicago, and not fitting in like they all thought he was going to fit in. So that's all I got for today's show. Definitely appreciate you in a major way. Appreciate all the feedback on the Locked On Raider podcast. Voicemail line again, 707-654-4693. We'll have more calls and texts coming up on tomorrow's show. Got a call from Jacob in Fresno, a text from Stabler's Ghost from the Northeast, a text from Cade in Arkansas, and of course more. So I'll get all that on tomorrow's show. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation I had with Jeff Howe from The Athletic. I thought it was a real good behind-the-scenes look and kind of a feel of who Dave Ziegler really is and who head coach Josh McDaniel really is in 2022 and how they can help the Silver and Black. So again, I thought it was a very informative conversation. I was excited to have that interview on Monday on Raider Nation Radio 920, and definitely excited to bring it to the podcast today as well. So we'll be at practice again this morning. 8:30 is the window when it opens up, and then following practice, we'll talk to players and coaches. Not sure what coaches or players are going to be made available, but we'll definitely be all over it like a glove and bring you any good stuff that we get back to the podcast tomorrow. So thank you so much, Raider Nation, again, for making the Locked On Raiders podcast your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find the show free and available on all platforms. Till tomorrow, take care of yourself, take care of your family, love on your family, and most importantly, as always, just win, baby.